From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made at midnight, Sunday into Monday, at every Wegmans store in New York. At the stroke of midnight, plastic bags disappeared. Well, not entirely, but store employees removed many of the bags from the stores, keeping a few behind for exempted food items. The new plastic bag ban was in effect. Wegmans is charging 5 cents per paper grocery bag as well, in an effort to move customers to use reusable bags. You can still get a limited selection of grocery items in plastic bags, things like uncooked meat. But for the most part, it's here, the plastic bag ban that would change everything. It would either cause celebrations or riots or a breakdown of society. Of course, we can joke, but for people on limited budgets, we do know that 5 cents per paper bag can add up, and there have been some complaints there. This hour, we're going to talk about the change, the impact, the intent, and the ways to deal with climate change. And we're also going to talk about what's happening in some other places, places like campuses, like RIT, and we have the Assistant Director for Campus Sustainability at RIT. Harsha Dassault is here. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
Also with us in studio is James Gilbert, who is a meteorologist and reporter for WROC-TV, has done some of the really, really good reporting in this region regarding everything from recycling, plastic bags as well. So great to have you back here. Thank you for being here.
Evan, thanks for having me.
All right. And so the plastic bag ban is in effect, and one of the first things you did was remind people that there are some exemptions, et cetera, here. What's the landscape look like if you're walking into a Wegmans now this week, James?
No plastic bags at the front end. That's really the biggest change. At the very end, when you walk out, you're not going to be offered that free plastic bag that we're all used to seeing there. Otherwise, pretty much everything is status quo. You're still going to see the bags when you get your deli meats. You're still going, if you get a bouquet of flowers, that's still going to be in a plastic bag as well. And part of the state law is there's a lot of exemptions. There's a lot of ways you're still going to see the plastic bag. And you yourself can still obviously bring in plastic bags. I was there yesterday. I saw a lot of people with bringing their own plastic bags, Wegmans bags in. Yes, people are still doing that. And I think we're going to continue to see more of that.
Okay, you got the list of exemptions?
Yeah, list of exemptions right here.
So if you go to Wegmans, you can still get your these items bagged in plastic bags.
Yeah, and the first thing you see is the produce, right? You can still use those bags to put your broccoli in there to get your cilantro.
Oh, okay. So what you're talking about, not what they're gonna the clerk behind the register is gonna give you the employee behind the register, but when you're out on your own in the produce mm-hmm. section and you're grabbing. You still have plastic there. Okay.
Yep. Still have it for the fruits, veggies, everything in the deli, newspaper bags. And then you can still buy Ziploc bags, which are pretty much the same exact type of plastic bags. And outside of Wegmans, you're still going to see them at restaurants. Restaurant carryouts, those are exempt as well. And then the pharmacy is also exempt.
Okay, so those are your exemptions.
Long list.
It's not a long list. let me ask both of you, in a minute, Harsha is going to break some news about what RIT is doing, but let me ask you just about the way human behavior, kind of play pop psychologist here. The amount of email that I've gotten on just this subject alone, from people who are either celebrating it or talking about, I'll read some in a moment, but from people who are saying, how dare they? They're trying to control behavior. This is a bad idea. I tend to think that any change takes some adjustment, but we'll probably a year from now not even really blink at it. We'll probably just roll with it. But I could be wrong. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that's true. So I was perusing around Wegmans, interviewing people. Some people didn't care. Others were happy about it. And then I talked to one woman that wasn't so happy. She was retired on a budget. She had several cats. Uses 6 plastic bags per day. She goes through the kitty litter pretty often and uses the plastic bags, was pretty frustrated about it. And she told me the second she heard about it, she has been hoarding bags ever since then. I asked Wegmans, they showed me their options for plastic bags you can buy, ranging from $2 to $8 for that exact reason. So I think there is a little bit of frustration and confusion, but I think it'll force people to maybe become more inventive. The bag that you use that you buy your bread in, usually bread comes in bags. Those bags could be used for dog or cat refuse per se. So I kind of heard those ideas floating around in Wegmans.
That's a good point. And listeners, I don't think we're getting rid of cats over this, but would love to hear from listeners on what they're going to do with their pet waste. Because James is right. This has been sort of a popular option, especially for cat owners. And as we talk about your thoughts on the plastic bag ban at Wegmans, and we'll talk about what government leaders have had to say coming up here, would love to get your take as we sort of broaden the conversation. 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free. 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. 263-9994. You can email the program, connections@WXXI.org. Harsha, what do you make of the ban itself, and do you think people will adjust?
I think it's a step in the right direction, and I do think people will adjust, and I think, you know, a year, 2 years, even 4 years, 5 years, we will hopefully have a different economy and different state of affairs where people won't miss plastic bags. And I feel like at college campuses, we see this all the time when there's a big rollout or a big change happening. The students eventually will graduate, right? So we'll have a new cycle of students every couple years, and the new students don't even know what it used to be like back in the day. Only people like myself who's been at RIT for 10 years, I remember what it was like back in the day. And in many ways, you know, these things sound like a big deal when it's happening, but the average consumer, I don't think our lives will change very significantly because of this one change in policy.
Yeah, and I'll make a comparison here, and maybe listeners will object to this comparison, but I think it will probably be like a public smoking ban. Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, I was in Rochester before the public smoking ban, and then afterwards, I remember the anger that smokers had about this ban. And now, if you ever go anywhere where there is smoke in restaurants and bars, it is jarring. You know, you go, what century did I just drunkenly stumble into? What's going on here? And it's just feels sort of normal. And the reason it was done, you know, some will argue it was sort of nanny state, big governmentism, but it was done because it was harmful to people who were not smokers. It, just as the use of plastic bags has a harmful effect that we're trying to mitigate. So I do suspect we will, and maybe listeners don't like that comparison, you can let me know, but I think that we'll probably get used to it. And you're going to do some things differently at RIT as well. You're going to break a little news for us now.
Yes. So hot off the press, just about an hour before I started thinking about this show, RIT has announced our plan to phase out single-use plastics in terms of specifically right now plastic bags, straws, and plastic stirrers. And as of next month, so February 1st, we will not be providing plastic straws, bags, and stirrers. We will have paper bags and paper straws available upon request at some cash registers. And we estimate that this will save us about 400,000 plastic straws, about 140,000 plastic stirrers, and 324,000 plastic bags to be diverted from landfills every year. So specifically 413,000 plastic straws, 140,000 plastic stirrers, and 324,000 plastic bags every year.
Okay, so it's interesting you talk about the straws. First email I read is from Kevin, who says, I'm going to condense a little. The problem is not the intent. The problem is that the replacement products aren't as good. Take paper straws. Those are an abomination. That's from Kevin. Okay, let's talk about paper straws for a second here. I've used paper straws. They're not the best, but I don't get all of the opprobrium. I mean, I was able to drink a smoothie out of a paper straw, and I consumed the entire smoothie without consuming any of the straw.
Right.
I mean, it was breaking down by the end of it. It wasn't, but I know why we're doing it. I mean, I'm sure we'll get better at it, but what do you think?
So here's the thing with plastic straws, right? They take a couple seconds, 20 seconds to produce, 20 minutes maybe, 25 minutes to use, and then they stay in the environment once we throw them away. They don't just go away. They are in our environment somewhere for hundreds of years because they don't biodegrade, right? So to me, if I can drink my smoothie in 10 minutes or 15 minutes with a paper straw that will decompose, why would I not do that? And there are other alternatives for people who do use straws. I personally don't use straws. When I go to a restaurant, I'll just be like, hey, I want my water without a straw, please. But if you do use straws, there you can bring your own. There are options out there with silicone and reusable straws. I've seen over the years at RIT, and recently that's been the big giveaways, like, let's give everybody reusable straws, right? Well, what if people don't want to use them. It's one of those things that might just end up in a landfill again. So that's something that I do try to really be purposeful about. And in India, where I'm originally from, I was talking to my mom earlier, and there are bamboo straws. There are other options. Mm. There's like pasta noodle straws in some places. Mm. So you can get really creative with straws. It doesn't have to be paper. And I do struggle also with, because we were looking at the compostable straws, and I'm using air quotes when I say compostable, because a lot of the times bioplastics that are compostable can only degrade in an industrial setting. You can't just toss it in your backyard compost and expect it to go away the same way you can with a paper straw.
Okay. What do you make of paper straws, Mr. Gilbert?
I'm just trying to think. What happens when they get in the landfill? Are they, I guess they're going to the landfill, right? Because paper straws I'm not recycling because it's right. got a smoothie on it. Or, you know, I feel like once it gets...
I don't know if you can wash and recycle. I don't know offhand. No, you cannot.
So
okay.
It's going to the landfill, yeah. right? So I guess if we want... I'm a big fan of reducing out of the reduce, reuse, recycle. So I think no straws... of any kind. I know some people need straws, maybe from even right. a medical standpoint. If you go to a lot of events, they'll give you, I feel like, just like the reusable bag, right? Every event that you go to, they're giving reusable bags out. A lot of it is product placement. And so the product placement is, oh, here's our reusable bag because it has our company name on it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel like that's becoming also another thing with the straws as well. I've seen a lot of plastic straws, but they're the reusable sturdy kind that would come with a bottle that has a label name on it. I have a bunch in my junk drawer, and maybe those are something that we could take with us. So,
all right. Well, let me bring in a couple of Romeos. I want to say hi to Kimmy Romeo, who has been a long time, sort of an inspiring crusader. I don't know if that's the formal title on her business card, an award winner for environmental innovation, and someone who's done a lot in our community. And it's nice to see you in studio. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, and I apologize for being a little late.
I mean, we'll make sure we've got not only Kimmy, but Jamie with us, on the line with us, a member of the New York State Assembly who's now with us. Hi, Jamie.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Mom.
Hi.
It's nice to bring the Romeos together. And I know, Jamie... Your time's a little more limited, so why don't you give me your perspective? Let me start just from the government side of things now, where you're working for New York State government. You know, Governor Cuomo's had a lot to say about this, some of the pushback, and I'll read some of the pushback via email in just a moment here. Mm-hmm. But give me your perspective on what government's role is in setting policy that is fair and that will drive the sort of change. And we can start with the plastic bag ban. What's appropriate?
Well, I think the plastic bag ban was a first step. It was a little disappointing because part of that was in Monroe County, we do not have the 5-cent fee. That would have gone towards a fund that would have allowed for putting more bags out into the community, so people that might have a harder time accessing those could have received them. We chose not to institute that policy, the previous administration, but other counties have. But the ban is an important step, and I know now there's conversations about styrofoam and plastic straws, as you guys were just discussing. But I think one of the important things that we've had less conversation on, but it's going to be an important one, particularly for state government to start having, has to really do with how do we incentivize the marketplace to produce those alternatives. Because right now we're instituting bans because we want to curb a particular behavior, but we're not necessarily instituting policies to make sure some of these other products that might be used from post-consumer materials that cost a little bit more money sometimes to manufacture, are we building the incentives to make sure that we're coming up with those alternatives to having the more sturdy plastic bags or more sturdy straws or those type of products? I think that's going to be a really important step that we take that can also be an economic development tool in the future.
Is there a proposal that is already within reach that you think would be the logical next one?
When it comes specifically to this, I know there's a lot of conversations. I know we're still in the budget, but there isn't anything specific that I've seen. But I know that's an ongoing conversation, particularly as we're looking there's a lot of different priorities within the budget that, you know, we want to combat climate change. We want to make sure we're providing jobs, looking at education. We've got a lot of demands on the state budget this year. But I do think when we look long term, how to solve this problem, it's going to really come down to, are we making sure we're encouraging the marketplace to make those conscious decisions?
Well, and some of the pushback, I'll read an email from a listener named Ken. This is just one example of the kinds that we've already been getting today, just in the last couple of hours as we get ready for this program. Ken writes, let's be honest about why this is happening. We were told plastic bags are the scourge of the environment. We know that is not true because they are the most environmentally friendly option. And he's pointing to some of the debate about the production of paper bags and transportation. So anyway, the idea that when you add up all of the environmental costs to creating different products, Ken's arguing that plastic bags, though Harsha is already to jump on that, but we'll get back to that in just a second. But then he says, and B, because you can still go to the store and buy plastic bags. The only bags that are banned are the ones we got for free with our groceries and reused, not the ones that get taxed by the state of New York when we buy them. This was all about making sure the state with the highest tax burden in the nation got their cut. Assemblymember Romeo, you want to tackle that last complaint there. Is this about the state getting their cut?
No. This is about trying to look at our solid waste streams and getting more products and materials out that are not biodegradable, that we know are having these long-term impacts. And yes, people got these bags for free because they were very cheap to produce, and we were throwing them away, and they were not just the litter portion, but when it comes to that, how we're handling this, the solid waste at the end cycle of it, that's where we have the largest component, which is why, yes, the manufacture and the transport of a heavier paper bag could have a larger carbon footprint, but you're not considering the end of life in measuring that equally, I would say, in that particular. But I'm sure there's others that may or may not correct me in your room. But I think that at the end of the day, when you talk about these bans, it's the problem we're trying to solve is how to keep these non-biodegradable materials, the things that we know that are clogging up our solid waste stream and our landfills and then our waterways, how do we prevent that? And that's, you have to stop these products from entering the marketplace, and the bans are one of those ways of doing that.
Sure, and so what Jamie is talking about is, I think, government using policy to try to influence behavior, whether it's spur market innovation, change our consumption habits. I remember it was 2004, the first time gasoline hit $2 a gallon. And you want to talk about riots, forget the Wegmans plastic bag ban. I mean, $2 a gallon. I was working for 13 Wham News, and my gosh, it was all we covered for about 2 weeks. And I remember talking to an economist at the time who said, you know what, we should consider $3 and $4 a gallon. We should tax it more heavily, not because we actually want more government revenue, but because we want less. We want very few people to be, you know, driving automobiles that burn fossil fuels. And until we force an innovation change, then maybe we're not doing enough there. So Assemblymember Romeo, for the emailer, that action would say, no, you're just trying to crank up government revenue. What you're trying to do, I think, is use the hand of government to influence the market. So let's take the other side of that. What do you say to probably the more libertarian-minded who say you should educate? James educates every day on WROC-TV. Harshita does the work on campuses. Your mother, Kimmy's in studio. She's been doing it for years. But you don't need government. You need to change the culture, and then it will change on its own. What would you say to that argument?
I think that, you know, empowering people with information is very important, but we also know that there are a lot of people that to make these conscious decisions every day, if you're struggling, you're not necessarily thinking about the biodegradability of what you're carrying your groceries in. You're worrying about filling up that bag to make sure you can get groceries. I think that there are some things that when we have a common consensus that this is the right policy, or that we know climate change exists and these are the type of things that we have to do to either mitigate methane offshoots in a landfill or whatever, that's when the hand of government needs to step in and fill that role, because placing that burden on the individual in many cases is just clearly unfair.
Yeah, and I'm going to squeeze in a couple more questions for the Assembly member, because I know her schedule's tight. Don't worry, we'll get plenty of time with her mother. but now that we are seeing some of these actual bans go into effect, and Wegmans is the most immediate. We have heard from people who have said, look, my budget's really tight. This is harder for me. We've heard from people who work at Wegmans who said literally at midnight the other night when this ban took effect, there were people waiting in line going, like, what are you doing? I mean, a nickel per paper bag over the course of a month and a year can impact people very differently based on their income. Are you are you concerned about that?
So the way had localities implemented the nickel through the law that we put in that was optional, there were waivers for if you met certain criteria, like if you were on WIC or other programs, that that 5 cents would be waived. I can't speak to other policies. But I think that's where the bans are an important step, but that alone can't solve the problem. I know we've had other counties in New York State, and I'm going to say Suffolk, but I might be incorrect, that have successfully implemented bans. We know that there's been other states and other parts of this country where they've been able to do this successfully. But that's why it can't just strictly be a ban. The state should be, and we need to continue that conversation on how do we make sure that we're providing these alternatives or encouraging the marketplace to provide these alternatives. We can't just institute a ban and say, oh, well, they're just going to do it. We need to make sure we're providing that added incentive, which is why I think it needs to be a continued conversation. And which is why had we set up the nickel fund, we would have had a mechanism to have been able to provide some more bags to those who have a harder time to have access to those.
Well, and so I'll close with that then. You know, you certainly know the new county executive, Adam Bello, and his views on the plastic bag ban and then the fee mirror what we have seen in previous administrations. He said in a statement he's got no plans to reverse course. He says, I believe strongly in the need for our community to lead the way in environmental protection and taking steps to mitigate the effects of our changing climate. The state ban on the use of plastic bags that goes into effect is a step in the right direction. But he says, while I'm in favor of efforts to encourage the use of reusable bags, adding another fee is not the right way to go about it. He's challenging the perspective that you're bringing. You're members of the same political party. Is he wrong?
I think that there are a lot of ways. You know, these are ongoing conversations, and there's going to be a lot of ways where we can encourage and incentivize either the marketplace or other ways to give out and make sure we're providing greater access to make sure those that need to have access to these reusable bags that can or other alternatives. So that's why I think this is an ongoing conversation. It clearly is not going to end here. But, you know, I've disagreed with fellow Democrats on more than one issue before, so that's never the end of the conversation.
I was just trying to goad you into saying, yep, he's wrong. Close enough. Assemblymember Romeo, as always, thanks for the time. We know it's a busy calendar for you, and thank you for making it work.
Oh, absolutely, and I apologize for the issues with getting on the phone, but thank you for the opportunity and this important conversation.
That is no problem. Assemblymember Jamie Romeo joining us here as we talk about the new Wegmans plastic bag ban, but also the broader question of the mechanisms of government, what is happening in different places. And so we're hitting it from a number of different angles there. And Kimmy Romeo is with us now. And do you agree? I want to start with you in a place that your daughter kind of took us to, which is when we're trying to deal with climate change, we have to probably remember in an inegalitarian society that there are, to be fair, there's people who are really hurting. It is unfair, I mean, this is probably my own bias, to ask them to sacrifice or to think about all the ways of that their carbon footprint is occurring on a daily basis if there is food insecurity in their house, if there is a transportation problem, if their children are and they are living in poverty. And so it becomes sort of enmeshed in an inegalitarian society. Do you agree with that?
In a way, but I would also agree with the idea that we...
That's okay. I'm just trying to get that mic. Point it up a little bit more. There we go. The last guest, you're very tall.
Oh, I would also agree with the idea that we have to start somewhere. We have to start closing the loop. And the original legislation that was put out there really did incorporate alternatives for people that needed that support. So we can revisit that. The conversation is ongoing. But if we don't make some effort to start, then we're never going to get across the finish line. So I think this is a really important step. And I think that if we sort of look at when the pendulum swings back, let's go back in history. Let's think about when our grandparents were shopping at the store. They weren't using paper bags. They weren't using plastic bags. They were bringing their own bags or carts or whatever they were using. And so it can be done. And I'm sure that we all have a bag somewhere at home that we could use, but we have to start somewhere.
Okay. Listeners, if you want to join the conversation, 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You're hearing Kimmy Romeo, who's in studio with us. James Gilbert is just here to help us guide us through the mechanisms of this as a meteorologist and a reporter for WROC-TV. It's not his job to advocate. It's his job to explain, and that's why we're glad to have him here. Mm-hmm. And Harsha Dassault is with us, who is the Assistant Director for Campus Sustainability at RIT. Now, there's a couple things that the Assemblywoman Romeo was talking about there. Anything you want to weigh in on what you heard from her perspective on maybe government's capacity to address some of these issues?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the government does play a role in helping citizens and community members to get to that behavior change, right? And that's why we have laws. I think, you know, a lot of harm has been done in our world for the last several decades. Plastics is just one part of that conversation. You talked about gasoline prices and stuff. So I do think that the government plays an important role in incentivizing certain technologies and behaviors over others. And it's something that we should count on. And I think, you know, again, I come from India, where a lot of municipalities and states have been looking at banning single-use plastics beyond bags. And that has happened very successfully because ultimately, you know, that's what legislation is for, in my opinion. And I also struggle with this concept of, oh, the government should do this, or industry should do this, or individuals should do this. And I really try to focus on what can we all do? Where is the collective action here? Because it's easy to kind of pass the ball around. And it's harder to just say, okay, here is my role in this larger picture. And yes, I can have an individual impact, but also help create systems level change.
And I'm already hearing from some listeners weighing in for me on, I've got all kinds of ideas on what to do with cat litter now. I'm just gonna read one. Here's Barbara, who says, "Evan, we are cat owners and 100% behind the plastic bag ban. Woo-hoo. Here's what we're doing for cat litter. We use a bucket when scooping out our litter boxes, then take it out to the trash can and have one big trash bag inside the can, which we dump the bucket into. Then once per week, when the trash goes out, so does the cat litter. That makes it one big bag per week of cat litter and other trash rather than multiples per day." That is Barbara's way of addressing that.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about this a lot in the last 24 hours is cat litter. And I will recognize that I come from a place of privilege. It's not something that I've had to worry about because I've always used trash bags and I've always kind of had a system. And I get that this is an added cost that some people are worried about, and I completely respect that. For me personally, you know, I have a puppy as well. So like compostable, again, air quotes, compostable poop bags and cat litter bags is just something that I've added to my pet care costs.
Where do you get compostable dog poop bags?
I have a local pet supply store in Churchville, Chila area. That's where I get mine. You can get them on Amazon. And again, we're talking about plastic and waste, ordering things online. There's a whole nother conversation that can be had about packaging associated with that. But again, like there, you had mentioned bread bags, yeah, and, you know, mm-hmm, potato chip, yeah, bags. There are things that we don't have an outlet for right now that can be used for, you know, everyday uses.
And like that this probably will happen, James. I mean, the people will shift to some degree to plastic bags that are from different forms. And it'll be a little bit of a shell game until there are fewer and fewer plastic options, probably.
Yeah. Apparently, my parents figured out that I enjoy reducing my plastic use. So for Christmas, I got Ziploc bags that are reusable. I got the reusable vegetable bags.
You have one hot Christmas.
It was the coolest ever.
I actually really like this.
Yeah. So there you go. There's the next gift for your friend or family member, the reusable bags, something that is pretty neat. And I brought them to the farmer's market on a couple of weekends ago, and it was interesting to see the look of the faces on, because you go to the farmer's market and talk about plastic bags just about everywhere, and they every
which
time
sort of feels, by the way, in conflict with itself, but anyway,
sure,
go ahead.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, I'd go to get, you know, the basket of potatoes, and I'd say, they'd start putting it in a bag, like, oh no, I have my own. And the smile that I saw on these farmers' faces was actually pretty nice. It was, they're like, oh great, thank you, because I'm sure they're probably working on how to figure out this problem too.
I love that. Kimmy, you had a kind of a visceral reaction when James brought up the plastic bags at the farmer's market.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, shout out to our neighbor, Annie Schauber, who also got us those really cool reusable bags for produce because we're big market shoppers. Mm-hmm. But I have such a nemesis with plastic bags in general, and I have for a while, and anyone that knows me knows that. So way back in the day when I was working for the county as a recycling coordinator, I started collecting plastic bags and crocheting with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I've seen that, yeah.
And I would cut a typical plastic bag into a long continuous loop, and then I would use it as material to crochet. And the really fun part is if you crochet with it, you don't have to tie it because the bag would just stick to itself. So I would crochet these big market bags and beach bags and take them to the public market. And when I saw the guy standing there with his wife where all his fingers were blue because he was holding 10 plastic bags full of apples and bananas, I would just hand him one of these bags. Yeah.
Well, I love that. Another email from a listener says, people need to ask themselves, what did we do before plastics? We've gotten used to plastics, and it has proven to be bad for the environment. We all need to reduce our plastic use in everything we do. I think people need to be pushed sometimes to change, and this is a step in the right direction. So, you know, different perspectives. You want to add to that, Harshita? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is something that I agree that this is, you know, plastics are bad for the environment. That's what we're here to talk about, right? But here's the thing, that anything that harms our planet ultimately harms us, right? So this is beyond protecting the environment. It is about human populations. And I love that Jamie Romeo had pointed out the end of life kind of process for plastic bags and a lot of things that we use every day. We don't have a good outlet. And, you know, these things don't just go away. I had a student who he said this to me in a different context, but I think it applies here. He's like, think about, you know, Cotton Eye Joe. Where do plastics come from and where do they go? And, you know, oftentimes in the production stage, the communities that these plastic bags are being produced in are oftentimes minority communities. There are health impacts that they have to deal with as a result of living near production plants. And then when it's disposed of, it can end up in, you know, places like China and Vietnam and India, where you can see, you know, the turtle with the plastic bag in its belly is really sad, but so is when you see human children worldwide standing in piles of plastic waste. Mm. You know, the coastal cleanup that I know, Kimmy, you'd been working on, I think the number one thing that you see is disposable plastic,
yep.
Right?
So the ideas are just rolling. I'm going to keep reading ideas. We should do this like once a month. All the ideas you have of living differently, because it's really inspiring whenever we talk about this stuff. And I think Kimmy and Enid Cardinal, we dragged you onto the program like a year ago talking mm-hmm. about this. We got to keep doing this. Kate writes to say, I've put a cooler in the back of my car for years. Number one, items go back into the cart after checkout at the grocery store. Items then go into the cooler in my car. The cart goes back to the cart corral. And by the way, always number three, put the cart back in the cart corral. But Kate says that's her method of just immediately getting things moved around without using plastic bags. A lot of creative ideas out there. I'll keep reading your emails if you want to send them. It probably sounds like as a journalist, I'm endorsing the plastic bag ban. I am open to measuring whether it's working as intended. I mean, clearly what we're doing is we're monitoring whether this is working and changing behavior. So after our only break of the hour, I'll ask James Gilbert. I mean, as we go forward, what are the questions we should ask about whether this is working? And I'm curious to know about his thoughts there. He's a meteorologist and reporter for WROC-TV. Kimmy Romeo, Harshita Sood are here. And as we talk about the plastic bag ban at Wegmans, it's a reminder that that's one small slice of a large picture of a changing sort of scope of behavior. So we'll get right back after our only break of the hour right here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, the New York Times took some heat over their presidential endorsement process. That's because in many ways it felt like a reality game show. We'll talk about whether newspapers should endorse anymore. Then in our second hour, how to talk to kids about climate change, the short-term and the long-term future, and the psychology of it. We'll discuss it Wednesday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Yeah, listeners, keep emailing me your ideas for how you're doing things a little differently when it comes to reducing waste, particularly plastic bags. Though I will point out, just to be fair here, if you have a lot of plastic bags, if you're one of the people that James Gilbert from WROC-TV mentioned was hoarding plastic bags mm-hmm. before the ban,
right.
Wegmans will let you bring them in and reuse them. They will treat your currently owned plastic bags as reusable bags.
Yeah, one of the women that I spoke with, she, as I was asking her, you know, what's she using to pack everything away, and she had a reusable bag, but in the reusable bag were the brown plastic bags. She pulled them out like she was not supposed to have them. You can still use them, and
she was sheepish about it, like,
right,
sorry, like, I still have these. Yeah,
yeah, right. And they are also, for state law, you have to have the recyclable center in front of the grocery store. So you're still, if you say, well, geez, they don't have any more plastic bags, what the heck am I going to do with them? You can still recycle them, and that is going to be always available because you can still recycle the plastic bags that are, that wrap around your toilet paper or things like that, water bottles that get wrapped up. That's a different issue entirely. But those things can still be recycled, and you can still recycle these brown bags.
Okay. How do you, Harsha and Kimmy, how do you feel about reusing plastic bags? I feel like I cannot imagine bumping you in a grocery store and you're hauling your own plastic bags in. But I guess if you already own them, that's very different than the creation of new and distribution of new bags.
And so that's what I'm going to jump onto, Evan. I'm going to say if it's existing, all right, and so we've already put that energy into the existing material, then use it until you can't use it anymore. But would you find me in the grocery store bumping it? No, no.
Yeah. So here, so these single-use plastic bags are meant to be single use. They're not, you know, they're okay. You can bring one back, use it for kitty litter, and you're done. Or you can reuse it once, twice, maybe three times at Wegmans. But that's about it, right? After the third time, I feel like I'll have.
It has holes, no integrity. Poked, yeah.
Right. It's like there's holes, and then I'm, you know, my sugar and flour is all over the parking lot. Like, yeah. No. And it's. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, right? These are not meant to be reusable. And again, when you're, I get the argument that, hey, but what about trash can liners that I'm buying? When you're paying for something out of your wallet versus when you're paying for something out of your tax dollars, you are more likely to be conscious about not wasting that resource. So with my cat litter bags, again, I'm really careful that we're filling that up to the brim rather than, again, these plastic bags, they have more space than just one scoop of kitty litter, but oftentimes we're just putting it in and throwing it away, right? I'm not saying everybody does that, but mm-hmm. that is something when you're paying for something directly, you are more conscious about it.
I think it was hard to see. It's hard to see the hidden costs of the plastic bags, right. And mm-hmm. which, you know, I had mentioned, 3 years ago in 2017, I went to the waste management recycling plant where you could see those hidden costs. The facility is designed very well to handle the large hard plastics mm-hmm. and the paper and the recycling. That's why we have this extremely convenient single stream recycling. But the problem is people wish cycle. They want to recycle the plastic bags the right way, but it ends up in curbside recycling. That goes to the waste management plant, and then it clogs up these machines. So these dozen or so people that have to work on these machines that regularly get clogged up, the machine has to stop completely. They have to enter into the machines, which from an outside standpoint looks dangerous in itself, mm-hmm. pull the plastic bags out, and then restart the system. That's 15 minutes of lost productivity. And I know in other areas, some recycling centers are being shut down because of inability to make recycling profitable.
And that's because of contamination rates in the waste stream. And you're right. It's wish cycling. It's right. Thinking that we can just put everything in this magic blue box and it's going to go away because somebody came to the end of our driveway and took it.
So how are you going to measure if this is working the way government intends it to?
That's a good question. I think we're going to continue to see how people evolve. I think with attitudes, it's probably going to be a good measure. You know, I love going to Wegmans and talking to people about just about anything. So usually people have an opinion about it. You know, and I saw lots of positives and I saw lots of negatives yesterday. And we'll see kind of how those ebb and flow. You know, you could catch the people that were caught off guard when they had four items and they were all just kind of cradling it in their arms, walking to their car a little bit confused. And who knows? I think the education part of it is really good. And, you know, they advertised it well. We in the news obviously advertised it well. The ban is in effect March 1st. Wegmans just happens to be doing it a little bit earlier than everybody else.
I want to get Harsha in a second. One thing that just came to mind is as you talk about people carrying items to their car, kind of going, wow, the band's for real here. I suspect one thing that will happen is that when people are in different stores, how many times have you been at Target? Have you been at Starbucks? You've been at Subway? And they're bagging, and then they're bagging upon bagging. People are going to start saying, you don't need to bag that bag. Just hand the product to me, just right over the counter. Just hand it to me. It's fine. Like, we don't need a bag for that cookie or that coffee or whatever the case is. I suspect people will proactively start to do that more. That's just a guess of mine, because I'm feeling that myself, I think.
Yeah, I'm buying chapstick, and I don't need my three packs of chapstick
that's
in
right.
a bag.
I agree.
And
that's right.
You kind of feel, you know.
And by the way, I'm not like dissing the clerks or anything
right.
like that.
It's
I'm just
job.
Like, that's part of the job. But I think that is going to change.
Yeah, if you are a business and you collect taxes, that is the sweeping. You are not allowed to offer the free bags. So, I mean, you can imagine that's just about everyone, right? So you're not going to be seeing these at the CVS. You're not going to be seeing these at Rite Aid. You're not going to be seeing these at Walmart. That's a big one I think a lot of people were asking about. If they have collect taxes, they won't be offering the bags anymore.
Kimmy was the person who, years before my small brain figured out, I don't need a Subway sandwich wrapped in one plastic bag then wrapped in another. You were probably just telling them, are you used to just saying that, by the way? Like,
yes.
That's okay, don't bag it.
But here's what's unusual, and so it has been since the beginning of time, because I'm like twice Evan's age, but still when I go somewhere today and I say I don't need that bag, or can I have my coffee in a cup, and someone will look at me and go like, what do you mean? I mean, like in a cup that I'm going to wash. It's still new information for some people. So we have to continue educating each other. Like, we can't just depend on some institution to educate us, or the newspaper mm-hmm. or the TV. We have to educate each other. So I also want to throw out a personal challenge to everybody listening today who can afford to pay 5 cents for a bag, because I did this today and it was an awesome feeling. So you know how you're going through the line at your favorite coffee shop and you say, I'm going to pay for the person behind me? Do it in the grocery store. Do it in Walmart. Do it in Wegmans. Pay for somebody's bags when you see that they're clearly without reusable bags. Why not?
I love
You've empowered them. The next time they shop, they're going to have reusable bags.
That's an awesome idea.
It was fabulous.
How much did you spend for the bags behind you?
$10. Best $10 I'm going to spend this week.
I'm in.
I love that. Now, I know, Harshita, you want to jump back on a point you were hearing earlier? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, first of all, shout out to RT's Dining Services, because they're really conscious about providing paper bags by request only, providing, you know, paper straws by request only. But going back to the point about how do we know if it's working, so metrics. I was reading an article that Wegmans did a little pilot study in two stores, I believe in Corning and Ithaca, where before the ban, it was about 20% of the customers were, again, I'm a little bit fuzzy on the numbers, but I believe 20% of customers were bringing reusable bags. And after they transitioned to this new policy, 80% of the people were using reusable bags. So I'm actually really excited about metrics. We'll have them from RIT in a couple months, years. Wegmans hopefully will be willing to share. And then again, Monroe County and counties around New York, I'm excited to see where that goes.
I'll be anxious to see what our beach cleanup statistics look like this coming year, because it's going to be several months between the ban and the coastal cleanup.
Let me read a couple more emails here that have just come in. Dan says, the ban misses the mark. I agree with the ideal spirit of the legislation, but Cuomo's and Assemblywoman Romeo's argument doesn't sound believable to me. Am I supposed to believe that proponents of this ban shopped at places like Wegmans, realized they had to do something about all the plastic waste, and after deliberating on it, they decided to ignore the actual single-use plastics that encase products, often needlessly, on every shelf of every store, and they chose to make their move against the only plastic bags that are free and which everybody knows are, in fact, reusable? Seems iffy. Thanks for the hour. This issue requires a lot more ingenuity than a simple ban. And that comes from Dan. Kimmy, what would you say to Dan, first of all?
I would say what I said when you first asked me to speak today, that we have to start somewhere. We can't control every product manufactured on every shelf in every store, certainly not at the state level, but we can start locally. We have to start thinking globally and acting locally, and that's what this legislation does.
Okay. You want to add to that, Harsha?
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. And I've heard that a lot as well. And I get it, right? Okay, we maybe will solve this one problem, but what about this? And what about fishing nets and oceans? And what about the toilet paper that comes wrapped in plastic, right? I get it. And I to those students, I say, hey, okay, if that's something you're worried about, let's work on it. Let's talk about that. Tell me what it is that you want to solve and let's do it together, right? What I struggle with is this deflection or this whataboutism. It seems sometimes like a cop-out, right? And that's what got us into trouble in the first place. So that's what I, you know, when I'm working with students, I talk to them about critical thinking and saying that, okay, what is, I agree with your point, let's do something about it versus this is a bad idea. And I agree with, we have to start somewhere. Yeah.
Well, and let me just turn to James on this, because James has been there looking at what happens in recycling plants when plastic bags are ensnaring everything. You know, to Harsha's point that it can sound like a cop-out to do this whataboutism. Well, what about these products on the shelf? What about encasement products and everything else? I would say it's a cop-out if you're sort of deflecting as opposed to action.
Exactly.
It's not a cop-out if your larger point is, if we just do this and congratulate ourselves and we are missing the big stuff, then it doesn't really matter. But whether this matters or not, you've been at these plants, you've seen what plastic bags wreak some serious havoc when we're just trying to recycle.
Yeah, and it is nerve-wracking to see that. And, you know, recycling is often used as, you know, some people might think that is a cop-out, that, you know, which really should be reducing and then reusing. Recycle's the number three of three.
Every time James is on, which I love, he reminds us, recycle, but really reduce.
Thank you. Yeah.
Right. And so we all like to be able to have that capability. But I think that this... I'm curious to see if this plants the seed of sustainability. If people that never thought about sustainability, you know, just live their life and do their live their lives and do their thing, which is fine, but maybe that since they were forced to do this, they're going to start considering other things in their lives, and a snowball effect, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think that's impossible.
Yeah.
I really don't. Tim in Pittsford says, "I like getting rid of the plastic bags, but why is Wegmans taking the 5 cents per bag to donate? If Wegmans wants to donate money to something, that's great, but Wegmans does well enough where they can use their own money. Why do they have to use our money? Last time I checked, Danny's family is worth somewhere in the nine figures." From Tim in Pittsford. I don't remember. I think I've got somewhere where all the 5 cent fees are.
I think they go to the local food banks.
Yes.
Here we go. Credit where it's due. I'm just going to quote directly from the Democrat and Chronicle. "If the governments do impose the fee, the revenue goes back to the state and the municipalities. Local governments can keep 2 cents per bag to fund the distribution of reusable bags. The remaining 3 cents would go to the state's Environmental Protection Fund. If the businesses do it in counties that do not impose the fee, the companies can keep the money. Money collected from the paper bag charge at Wegmans will be donated to local food banks," according to a company spokesperson. So it doesn't sound like... As long as, Tim, we'll try to follow the money, but it sounds like Wegmans is saying, we're not taking your money, we're going to give it to local food banks. Partially then that fee, you could argue, well, why do the fee? Part of the fee is to try to incentivize change. Right,
right? And to cover the other part of the bags.
Yeah, okay, right, right.
So it was a split fee.
Yeah, so right. You'd be splitting that that nickel. Tim, I appreciate that. And so I think what we're seeing here as we get ready to wrap the hour is a lot of energy and enthusiasm for this, some skepticism, some anger. That's probably true with a lot of significant changes. And I haven't been to Wegmans since the bag ban. You were there yesterday. Like, was anybody actually angry about this?
Confused. I think the big thing was confusion. I'm there with my tripod and my camera shooting and stuff, and I saw two guys that had they weren't together, but they had run into each other. You know how you run into everybody at Wegmans and say, "Oh yeah, today's the first day," kind of thing. "Oh yeah, forgot my reusable bag," kind of like, "Oh man, here we go," type deal. That was kind of the mentality. That was the attitude. No frustration. And I even talked to some of the employees there. I got there right before the lunch rush and they said, "Yeah, we haven't had any big issues this morning. Nobody's seriously complaining about it, but, we'll see how steep the learning curve is."
Sure. I think, you know, a number of people will go, "Huh."
And
cool.
March 1st might be a real awakening.
You want to explain more about why?
March 1st is the day where everybody that, again, collects tax, pretty much every place that offers a single-use plastic bag at the front of the store will not offer that anymore. So March 1st could be the real awakening.
In many ways, mm-hmm. the Wegmans step is kind of a training wheels for that.
Right.
And then we'll see. How do you think we're going to do with that, Kimmy Romeo?
I think it's going to hurt. Like anything, change is hard. Change is good. Change is what makes us who we are.
You're confident we can handle it?
Absolutely.
Okay. And let me ask Karsha to sort of offer some final thoughts from the RIT perspective. Mm-hmm. Do you see an enthusiasm that embraces change like this? I mean, you know, your campus is its own little ecosystem. How do you see changes like this playing out?
I think this is something, so students have been asking since, I believe, 2015, that we do something about the plastic bag usage at RIT. So a lot of change at RIT is driven by students, which I, as a proud alum of RIT, I'm excited about. There will always be a small subset of faculty, staff, students, alumni who are naysayers, and I completely appreciate their points of view. And I feel like the naysayers help us be stronger, help us really think critically about the change that we're trying to make, and make sure that we're looking at the change holistically as opposed to just, you know, shutting people out. So that's not what we do at RIT. We really try to, you know, get all the voices in one room. And I think, you know, again, this is a start for us. James, you'd mentioned the snowball effect, and I feel like this is something that students think about. They want to know, okay, first plastic bags and straws, and then we distribute these reusable cutlery things to students.
Which you're holding
campus,
in your hand.
Which I'm holding in my hand. It's like, it's, yeah, I brought
jangle
a prop
Let's
to
hear
a radio
jangle
show.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah. and, you know, I've been thinking about what more could I do? And so I have really reduced how much takeout I get. And I have my own container that I bring in, that I keep in my car at all times, just like my reusable bag when I don't finish my food at a restaurant. Also, just don't order too much food. There's so many things you can do.
And, you know, when you say that students have been asking since 2015, what I recently heard someone say, everybody always says kids these days. But with climate change, you know what it is? It's like kids these days.
You
yes.
betcha.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, kids. Young adults inspiring us. Okay, well, now you're all set with the plastic bag ban. Wegmans, March 1st, 5th? 1st.
1st.
First.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everywhere else, get ready. Thank you. You can see James Gilbert just about every day.
Yep.
They've rarely let him leave WROC TV Channel 8. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You can see Kimmy Romeo anything where good things are happening usually.
Thank you, Evan.
That's usually the case. Thanks to Kimmy for her time and Harsha Dasood from RIT. Good luck with the changes there. Thank you very much. Our thanks to David Griffin volunteering today. Megan Mack is the engineer and producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Talk to you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.